report. All right, so I'm here with Dr. Noel. Dr. Noel is a phase two teacher, and she'll give you some insight of what phase two is. So good morning, Dr. Noel.
Good morning.
Thank you for agreeing to do this interview.
No problem.
So can you explain what is phase two?
Phase two is just a fancy way of saying self-contained. A lot of times the word self-contained comes with a stigma that these are students who are incapable of doing certain things. So phase two, it still provides that educational setting, but it just takes away from students being labeled coming in the classroom or being in the classroom.
Okay, awesome. And so when we talk about phase two and the work that you're doing with your students, first of all, I know you have a lot of background knowledge about the special needs learner. How long have you worked in special school district?
I've worked for special school district for 6 years. This is my sixth year. But I've been in special education for many, 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 many years. Prior to me returning back to the classroom, I was an educational advocate of foster children. I also transitioned as an educational advocate of just students in general with IEPs. So my advocacy part spans for about 15 years.
Wow, that's amazing. So you've seen
the
various levels of learners.
Yes, I
have. So when we talk about the needs of your students, what are the various diagnoses of the students in your class?
In this particular classroom, I have students with autism that are on the spectrum and individuals with disabilities. That is the politically correct and updated term for mental retardation. And then I just have students with OHI, which is other health impaired learning disabilities. And my classroom itself is cross-categorical, which pretty much stands for it's a cross-category of students with disabilities and diagnosis.
Okay. And so how do you support those students with the various learning disabilities? How do you support them in math?
Well, math is one of those hard subjects. In order to properly support a student with a disability, especially something like ID, intellectual disability, where their issue is processing and being able to make that connection, what I have to do is provide real-world experience. As an example, for this week, actually for the past couple of weeks, we've been doing money. And I know for my students it's a challenge because, in addition, the underlining foundations of money is adding, subtracting, regrouping. And students with disabilities struggle with the mental imagery of being able to add and subtract, meaning that they have to do it in their head. They have to be able to, you know, write the answer down and then bring over that one to the tens column. It's too much. So what I do to support my students is make it a real-world experience. In order to do that, I had to teach the student in their learning style, not necessarily what is expected or their disability. And a lot of times people think, oh, they have a disability, so I need to teach it this way. Not necessarily. You have to be able to teach to their learning style. Just because a student has a disability doesn't necessarily mean that that disability is a strong deficit in that particular area. Mm-hmm. So it's just making it real world. Some of the examples that we did was I bought in grocery store ads. Mm-hmm. I gave my students a budget, and I'm like, you have to, well, Thanksgiving's coming up, so you have to grocery shop. Everybody in the classroom is coming to your house. So I listed some things that they'll need, and it was up to them to go to the grocery store. But it wasn't just going to the grocery store and saying, Ms. Knowles, I have it. I needed them to take it a step further. Not only will you go to the grocery store, you will have to write down that you have turkey. You'll have to write down the price of that turkey. You will have to deduct that from the amount that you have to make sure that you don't go over and you stay under budget, but also to make sure that you have everything you need. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was challenging, but my students finally understood why when they go to the grocery store with their mom's like, you can't get that. Don't touch that. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough for that. Mm-hmm. So just being able to make it real life for them,
mm-hmm.
just being able to bring those abstract numbers forward,
mm-hmm.
3D format for them, so they can grasp it.
Mm-hmm. And then a lot of hands-on.
Yes, definitely hands-on support.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to have the actual grocery store ads was a plus because they had something in their hand. What I've learned with students with disabilities is it's easy to teach them concepts when they're able to manipulate the concepts themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like other things we do in here. Like we use various manipulatives to help them add, subtract. For when we do a number line, for
mm-hmm.
instance, I don't just put it on the board. One year we had a number line across the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So students actually got a chance to jump a real number line
mm-hmm.
and understand this is how we're adding.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we're subtracting.
Mm-hmm.
So just that real world concept.
Mm-hmm.
And again, teaching to their learning style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then just differentiating it.
Yes,
so
differentiating instruction. Actually, for a lot of my students, we do direct instruction, which is a lot of times one-on-one, which is saying, hey, this is what you need to do. Oftentimes, it's not necessarily in a setting like that, but it's more in a table format setting where you can actually look at each learner and focus on what they need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. And so with the very learning abilities of your students, have you ever encountered those students that are functioning well above
yes.
their level?
Yes.
And so could you speak to that and how
yes.
you support them?
And so a lot of times in here, we do have students that, especially individuals with autism,
mm-hmm.
math
mm-hmm.
is their niche.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, again, teaching to the learner and the learning style of that student,
mm-hmm.
it's just because when they're in this classroom, a lot of times the misconception is that, oh, they just teach them and it's attractive. No. For my particular classroom, I have two sets of learners. They're essential skills students, and those are those students who need the foundational support, the adding, subtracting, telling time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the more advanced learners that, even though they have a disability, they are, like you said, higher functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Again, when you teach to that learning style, you're not only being able to differentiate that instruction, but you're also modifying the grade level expectation curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So I
mm-hmm.
do have some students that are third and fourth grade who are very good readers,
mm-hmm.
Who are very good at math.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't just stop at what is expected in their IEP.
Mm-hmm.
I go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, when we had, since we're doing money, they're, because I'm teaching to their learning style, their tasks were a little different than my other students who had to look through the paper. They had to, okay, so like an example, the turkey. Turkeys are sold by the pound.
Mm-hmm.
So for my more advanced learners, I had to say, okay, so this turkey is $2.99 a pound, $2.99 a pound. You need 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
How much money is that?
Mm-hmm.
So it was more or less, I'm still addressing those needs, but I'm also addressing their need for higher learning and
mm-hmm.
their need to be able to say, you know what, I can calculate that. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it does not just stop at what is required in their IEP.
Mm-hmm.
True learning takes place throughout the day, various subjects. And when we look at instruction for students, we look at how can I best maximize their learning opportunities. So.
Wow. And so as a parent advocate, as a parent and then
mm-hmm.
as an advocate, what are some suggestions or strategies that you have for parents when they're working with their child at home?
My number one strategy is to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are the student's first learner.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want parents to have that conception. I don't teach like this teacher does.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are the first line of educating our students. Being patient and making it real world for them.
Mm-hmm.
Include the students. Include their children when they're doing math concepts.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that requires adding, if it's something that requires multiplication, especially with the holidays coming up, you have X amount of family members coming over. How many sodas would you need?
Mm-hmm.
How much juice would you need?
Mm-hmm.
Include that student in those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the best learning opportunities are the ones that occur naturally at home with mom, with dad, and just sharing that learning opportunity, sharing that ability to be able to talk with that student. And they'll be surprised. Like, even with my own students, even with my own children, they don't have disabilities, but I practice what I preach. I do have kids that sometimes struggle with math. My own kids struggle with math. So I do my best to incorporate it in every way that I can, especially when it comes to going to the grocery store, shopping, budgeting, just anything where we can make it real world for them.
So it sounds like it really takes a lot of hands-on and just making the experience very real for the kids so they can actually see it happening. So that's really good, because those are some of the things that I talk about in this month's intentional instruction. It's just talking about how you support those students that struggle across the board in math, and then those that go beyond the expectation. So thank you so much, Dr. Nola.
No problem.
I appreciate the knowledge that you bring.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you so much. And for more information on intentional instruction, you can always visit my post at www.drsvbrown.com. Until next time, go out there and be great.
Answered all your questions.